And I'm now joined by Eoghan Reardon from Seanad Éireann to talk about intensifying opposition to the housing development plan in Raheny. Very good morning to you, Eoghan. Thank you very much for joining
us. Morning. No problem, anytime.
You're doing well? Yeah, that's great. First of all, Eoghan, what we're talking about here is the construction of over 430 apartments in blocks of five over eight stories high, and also just over 100 three-story houses, including some community rooms, a gym, cinema and other buildings on lands all surrounding St. Paul's College on Sybil Hill Road. There's been a massive objection from local residents, as can be seen from the protest held last Sunday at St. Anne's Park, also including the Clontarf Residents Association, every single councillor for the area as well, and some other organisations. So in your opinion, Eoghan, where do you see all of this going? Are you confident that On Board Planála will decline the proposal?
I'm not sure. I hope they will. I mean, just to give a bit of background to this, these lands are in the St. Paul's College that they were handed to St. Paul's, the Vincentian Order by Dublin City Council back in the 50s, and the understanding that they would be kept for recreational use, for playing pitches, and they've been used for playing pitches for the last, you know, 60 odd years, and for many people actually they are pretty much same part of St. Anne's Park. Now a fence did go up a number of years ago that has separated those lands from the rest of St. Anne's Park, but they were still being used locally for playing pitches for local soccer clubs and guard clubs and all the rest of it. Now the order sold the land a number of years ago to a private developer, and in 2015 an application went in for 381 units, and I would have been involved in a public meeting at that time to object to that, purely because the pitches were needed locally for local sports clubs and because it would adversely affect on the environmental integrity of St. Anne's Park. That was 2015. The developer withdrew the application in the end. Now, last November, I had met the developer, who told me that he was going to reapply once I understood that, in a new process, which means that any application over 100 houses doesn't go through Dublin City Council anymore. It goes straight to On Board Planála. This is new legislation from last year. So people might be a bit confused as to why it's going to On Board Planála immediately. Any 100 unit or more development goes straight to On Board Planála, bypasses the council. So I knew it was coming. We had a public meeting in November, which had maybe 150 people at that meeting. And then once the application was lodged on the just around Christmas, which is what they do sometimes because they want to get people catch people off guard, we had another public meeting in January, and that was out the door. There must have been about 400 people there, and that meeting decided to have a protest the Sunday week, and there must have been about at least 2,000 people there on last Sunday. So we wanted everybody who was at that protest to put in their objections. Objections go into On Board Planála by the 5th of February, and then the board will make their decision by mid-April.
All right. The I Love St. Anne's Action Group, they expressed concerns about the major flooding risk on the land if the development goes ahead. What's your view on this?
Well, this is true, because if you know that the North Side has a lot of underground sort of rivers like the Wad and the Nanakin. And the Nanakin will flow actually up Brookwood Avenue underneath the houses there. And what's happened in the past is that, you know, when there's ever heavy rainfall, Brookwood Avenue gets flooded. And it's because of the underground river that tends to burst and tends to flow up to, through houses. So this building on that level of land, that number of housing units will severely affect the drainage. Now, remember, these are said 15 lands. I mean, if this was zone Z1 for housing development, like, people like me wouldn't really have any grounds for objection. But this is Z15. Z15 means institutional lands. It means school or hospital. It means, if it's going to be housing, it should be maybe the principal of the school or maybe a religious order. It doesn't mean 535 housing units on playing pitches. That's the key to this, and we think the zoning and the impact that it'll have on the environmental integrity of St. Anne's Park would actually be the winning or losing of this. So drainage is an issue, obviously traffic is as well. I just want to talk about the housing thing for a second, because people have criticised the campaign for being anti-housing. There is any amount of zoned land around the North Side which would be perfect for housing that we have supported. You know, myself and local councillors, Jane Horgan-Jones, Alison Gilliland, we've been at meetings where we've been criticised for supporting housing. There's 151 social housing units in the Northern Fringe which we backed against local opposition. There's 100 social housing units going in beside me in Grace Park Road backing against local opposition. 62 in Bowmount social housing units backing that against local opposition. There's 350 units hopefully to go in the Chiver site. We want to back that proposal as well. 600 units in Oscar Traynor Road, we want to back that as well. I mean, there's any amount of planning applications for housing that are going to aid the housing crisis that we want to back. We don't want to back a development on playing pitches beside St Anne's Park on Z15 lands. It's wrong.
Well, many locals themselves have said, whilst they believe housing is badly needed in Dublin, however, they strongly feel that this is not the area for it. It's just not. It's incompatible.
Yeah,
and already it's the same thing.
Really disappointed what the Order have done. I mean, the Order, look, they have done a great service for local area in terms of the education provision that they provided, secondary schools and all the rest of it, and they have a long history of that area, and that's fine. But what they were given that land to aid the community. They sold it, and they sold it to a developer, and I believe they sold out the community in the meantime. I mean, we all remember, and maybe you do as well, you know, learning to swim in St. Paul's swimming pool. I know I learned to swim there. That's gone. And there's apartments being built on that site as we speak. Now it's the playing pitches. What next? You know, so I think we have to find the balance between having a community of that is the balance between housing and amenity. And St. Anne's is so wonderful and so loved that impacting it with 8-story apartments overhanging it and destroying, you know, where the Brenkies go and the curling and all these various different birds that people feel strongly about, and just the sense of space and that magic lung of the north side. It's not just me that's saying this. All 15 local councillors, from 6 from Clontarf Ward and 9 from the Beaumont Dunamead Board, of all different shades of political colour, all of whom are grappling with the housing issue day in, day out, all of whom are screaming for a resolution of the housing issue, all of them are absolutely opposed to this development. And we would hope, once the embargoed objections go in, the city manager has to make his observation by the 26th of February, and we want him to reflect the views of the local councillors.
Right, well, St Anne's is top the range of parks in the whole of Europe, so it would be a shame for anything to go wrong in that area. So what's the deadline to submit objections to On Board Planola? Sorry, it's the 5th, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's actually the 5th. Next Monday.
It is next Monday, so I advise people maybe to get in today or tomorrow. I mean, basically, people are not used really to dealing with Dublin City or with On Board Planola. They're used to putting in a 20-quid objection maybe to Dublin City Council and going that way, but it's a different process. So I would advise people to go down to On Board Planola if they can physically walk in with their objection. There's a template on the I Love St Anne's website. There's a template on my own website and my Facebook page as well. People can copy that if they wish to walk in, pay your €20, get your receipt, and then you'll have lodged your objections. There are hundreds have already gone in, but we want as many as possible to go in today and tomorrow, and then hopefully we'll get a positive result. But between the 5th and the 26th, I'll be conducting a petition to the city manager to ensure he reflects the views of the councillors when he makes his own submission.
All right, okay. If permission is granted by On Board Planola, is there any possibility to appeal? And even if it goes the other way, could the developer appeal it?
Well, that's a good question. There's always, because normally what happens actually if Dublin City Council make a decision and it goes either way, either the developer could appeal to On Board Planola or the residents could appeal to On Board Planola. If On Board Planola makes a decision, I'm assuming the developer could go to the High Court or the residents could go to the High Court. I would imagine that if On Board Planola rule against this development, if they rule in favour of the development, I just get the feeling from the amount of community opposition to this that a High Court case is most likely going to be taken. Now, they're expensive, but you know, when you have this level of opposition to something, people power does tend to go the extra mile. But we hope it doesn't come to that.
Yes, of course. If at the end of the day the developer, by some chance, wins his case and goes ahead, when would it be expected for work to commence? Are you aware? After a few months?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the decision's not due until mid-April. That they are normally put back. Judging by the number of objections that are already going in, On Board Planola are going to have to take their time with this one. If it is given permission, I would imagine there'd be a High Court challenge to it. So I can't see, even if we keep losing, which I don't think we will, I can't see any development taking place there this year and probably not next year either. So we're going to keep fighting this. It's going to be a long battle, but we feel very strongly about it.
And if it all did go wrong, any idea of the proposed contract period, roughly? two or three years?
I'm assuming the permission is a 10-year permission. I don't know. They bought the land, they're there now, but we can only really deal with the planning process, you know, and that's what we need to be focused on.
What's here at the moment?
A lot of our public meetings, people are asking about who owns the land and who are the developer and all the rest of it. We just need to be very, very focused on putting in our objections and making sure we maximise the community effort there, you know.
Bit you understand, focus on the here and now.
Yeah.
By the way, there was a mention that the development plan is being described by locals as a breach of development plan principles. Any idea where they're coming from with this?
Well, that would be the Z15 zoning, because for people who don't necessarily understand Dublin City Development Plan, it's like the constitution of the city. It's like, you know, it's the rule book that all councillors have to abide by, and the councillors decide the zonings. So if you live in Z1, that's residential. If you live in a public park, would generally be Z9. But there's different zonings for different sites. So, for example, a school is generally Z15. It's institutional land. So it allows for a little bit of housing, it allows for a little bit of open space, it allows for a building, obviously, to be constructed. But there's a big difference between Z15 and Z1. Big difference between having a residential zoning and an institutional zoning. So, for example, a school that maybe the principal wants to stay, has a house there, or the religious orders has maybe a retirement home there, or a couple of units, that would be fair enough, that would be understandable, and housing would be allowed. But what isn't envisaged in Z15 is for a massive development of over 500 units in a Z15 zoning. That is completely out of kilter with the idea of Z15. So that's where that comes from. Now, there was an attempt made actually to rezone the lands, in fairness to all local councillors. I mean, back in the 80s, the councillors were rezoning lands for their own private benefit, and brown envelopes were flying around the place. In fairness to all the local councillors, they tried to rezone the land to Z1 last year, but the law agent of the council said if you do that, you could be personally liable in any court case that could be taken. So while the local councillors all voted to rezone it, councillors outside the area voted to leave the rezoning as it is. They tried to rezone to open space so it could never be developed on. So yeah, it's a contentious one, but certainly I feel that Z15 zoning is one of the trump cards that the community have, that it's not supposed to be for mass residential development.
Okay, right. And if the development is approved, it appears that three soccer pitches, two rugby fields and one GAA field will be lost in the area. And there was also a mention that the developer himself would replace these with two new all-weather pitches. So are you aware of this is the case?
Yeah, the developer put in a separate application for pitches, and in my opinion, a divide and conquer idea. I mean, there's a lot of local clubs who may have been interested in what the developer was proposing, who are now extremely opposed to what he's doing, because, as you know, St. Anne's, a lot of clubs play there. My own club, Scully Connell, will play there. Clontarf GA Club, Raheny GA Club, Raheny Soccer Club, Clontarf Soccer Club. They're all vying for pitches, and the pitches are few and far between there, with such a number of clubs trying to field teams every weekend, and it can be difficult enough to get space and time to play your games. The fact now that these pitches are going to be gone from St. Paul's means that they're effectively homeless. So we have a situation where Clontarf FC are now have been expelled from the pitches since the end of December, and they now have to vie with every other local club to try and find space in St. Anne's to play their games. So, you know, this has big implications for local football and soccer and rugby clubs, and I hope that the Borpenol will take that into consideration again. I mean, you know, we all want to live in a community where there's housing, we can house our people, but also where there's place for kids to play. And what we have now is a religious order sells land to a developer. Developer decides to stick 500 units on it, 8 stories on top of playing pitches. Tries to divide the community by having a separate application from all weather pitches, which won't in any way replace what's there, and then everybody else has to try and shift into St. Anne's and trying to compete for already exhausted pitches. It's just bad all around, and I hope that the board can all see their sense.
Yes, looks like you're going to lose six pitches, gain two, but at the end of the day, still a loss of four if everything went wrong.
And it's very dispiriting for football clubs, for example. I mean, a lot of people who protested were, you know, people who like to walk through the park, who like the environmental integrity of St. Anne's, who enjoy going there with their kids and their bikes. I mean, that's the beauty of St. Anne's, right, and everything that St. Anne's gives to the north side. But then there's these, you know, volunteers, you know them, I know them, I'm involved in teams myself. You know, go out at the weekend in your own spare time, you're taking kids, you're taking adult teams, you go down to St. Dan's, you play a game. Now, it's increasingly difficult for local clubs to actually get space in there. And now, with the loss of pitches in St. Paul's, it means that's going to be even more difficult. And you have clubs who are wondering, you know, this is getting increasingly impossible to actually to exist. And Clontarf FC are one of those clubs who are really struggling. They're extremely popular locally. They have a lot of teams going. They're a particularly well-run club. But they are now having to find themselves homeless since December because of the greed of... to my mind, the greed of the order who sold the lands and the fact that the lands are not going to be built on for profit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Eoin, thank you very much for joining us. All very
no problem.
Interesting. We wish you the very best of luck. Hope you get some good
You're
news
very good.
On the 5th.
Thanks for giving me the time to talk about it. Thanks a million.
You're most welcome. All the best. Take care. Okay, that was Eoin O'Riordan, Seanad Éireann, telling us about the intensifying opposition to the housing development plan in Raheny.